our message and our time together just in God's Word. A couple things we want you to know, of course, if you have your Bibles, we will be in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 in verse 1. We'll be in through verse 9. If you have your Bibles, we'd love for you to turn there. It'll be on the screen again. If you have the Faith Life Bible app or you have the Logos Bible app, you can choose to follow Restoration Christian Church, and it will actually pop the verse up for you, and you are able to follow along that way. Well, we have been in our series on family life for the last few weeks, and we have been discussing issues that go along with the home and family. The first week was Mother's Day, and Miss Letitia shared with you guys about just a Mother's Day message. And then after that, we went into the subject of words for wives. And so we talked a little bit about submission and mutual submission and husbands and wives and all those things. And then last week, we talked about, as for me and my house, we would serve the Lord. And so being a home that serves God. And you know, all of that is well and good. But if we don't understand that God actually has a plan for our home, God actually has a plan and a purpose for our home. He wants us to live a life that is fully His. See, home today is battling for its life. You know, the Christian home as it is really in the midst of this huge, huge battle. People are searching fulfillment for outside the home. They're looking for things because, frankly, their home life is unstable. They're lacking the foundational principles that will guide the affairs of the family, that'll guide kind of what the family does in and around that time that we have at home. You know, there's a horrible statistic that is repeated even within the church very often, and it is that marriage half end in divorce. And that's an unfortunate thing, and it really ought not to be. It didn't have to be. But, of course, there's all kinds of situations that fall into that. But as a result, we have single parents who are overburdened with the task of raising families. We have single moms, single dads, you know, who are having to work jobs to try to make ends meet. And ultimately, it was never God's plan for that to happen. We realize that situations happen, stuff happens, and, you know, sometimes that's the direction that it has to go. Even within God-fearing, God-loving families. But it didn't have to, and that was not what God ultimately had planned when He created man and woman and He put them together for unity. He has a plan for our home just as He has a plan for your salvation. You know, He doesn't just stop at you individually. He wants to continue on the plan that He set for you. He wants to set for your home and for your family. And so what I thought we would do today is we would go through and kind of discover some aspects of God's plan for the home. And so if you have your Bibles, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 9 says this: "This is the command, the statutes, and the ordinances the Lord your God has instructed me to teach you, so that you may follow them in this land you are about to enter and to possess. Do this that you may fear the Lord your God all your days of your life by keeping all of His statutes and commands I am giving you, your son and your grandson, and so that you may have a long life. Listen, Israel, be careful to follow them so that you may prosper and multiply greatly, because Yahweh, the God of your fathers, has promised you the land flowing with milk and honey. Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. These words that I am giving you today are to be in your heart. repeat them to your children, talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. God has a plan and a purpose for our home. And so as we take a quick look over the passage, we take a quick look through this Deuteronomy section of Scripture, I just thought we would point out a few individual little things. First of all, and again specifically about the home is a place of spiritual strength. Or it should be. The home should be a place of spiritual strength. God intends for our homes to be that place where we gain spiritual muscle. Verse 4 and 5, if you go back, tells us that we are found, we as adults are to found our family, to construct, create our family on the foundation of love and a spiritual relationship with Him. God loves us, and we return His love toward us in obedience. That's a concept that we very often forget. It's truly the beginning place. It is the foundational place that we start in all of our relationship with each other, with all of our relationship with God. Yet many people forget, reject, or ignore God in their lives in its entirety. And not only in their own lives, but in their homes. They flat out leave God out of every aspect of their home life. We have people who wonder, why is life not working out? Why is life so difficult all the time? And I think a simple look to the center of their life, the center of their home, would probably reveal that, and we all do it. Again, this is not a dig at anybody, but it would reveal that probably Jesus has moved off center in their home life, in their personal life. A pastor recalls one summer in England, he visited a house of a lovely English couple. The husband was a pastor in the East End of London, and around their house and church was evidence of destruction, of war. The couple themselves, though, revealed the peace and assurance of a deep faith and devotion and love. The motto over the entrance to their home was, "Lord, make my house thine until thine is mine." In other words, make your house yours until you are mine. Being able to have that be the core of who they are. In contrast, he described another house, a beautiful modern dwelling with lovely landscaping in a fine residential section. To look at it, you would think it must surely be a dwelling place of a happy family. But he remembered that he had seen too many unhappy couples live in that home, and he had watched both of those couples break up. So what's the difference between the two houses? What's the difference between the two homes? The family in the war-torn neighborhood? While they didn't have much, they had a relationship with Jesus. And that resulted in fellowship and strength, spiritual strength. Deep, when all else failed, when the waves of life came, the relationship that they had with Jesus built that home. The family in the fine house, the manicured home, were only whole on the outside. But unfortunately, they struggled with deep hurts and emptiness on the inside, and ultimately led to the separation of those two couples. Another place or a plan there that God has for our home is that it should be a place of divine truth. Now that's a big churchy word for something more than just God's truth, the truth that sets us free. All of the commandments and statutes and judgments of the Lord are to be observed and taught to every generation. Verse 6 in our passage that we read references the words that are so important. Verse 7 went on to say that we are to teach them to our children. not only is God to be loved and worshipped, but his words and his commandments and his faith are to be taught in our homes. Because here's the reality. At stake is the faith of the living God in the lives and homes of our nation. Too often, we allow ourselves to let that spiritual training fall off. We do a really good job of training our young men and our young women in physical things like athletics or academic things like bookwork and history and math. But at home is where we teach that spiritual muscle. At home is where we teach that spiritual exercise. And if they don't learn it at home, they're sure not going to learn it at school. They're sure not going to learn it from friends out on the street. The passage goes on and talks about the word teaching. It says to teach them these things. It's meant to whet. Guys, you know, kind of, if you've ever sharpened a knife, you know there's a whetstone. And you add a little water to it as you're sharpening your tool to give a nice hone to it. And that's what this word means. It's to hone our children, to hone our families into this sharp, God-fearing, God-loving tool that can be used for God's glory. Parents, we have to accept the responsibility for teaching our kids. We have to accept the responsibility for teaching them spiritually. It can't be shifted to anybody else. Because the result is trouble. Now, I shared this in the first service. You go, you know, that's kind of a blanket statement, Mike. There's serious trouble. What kind of serious trouble? Well, as I said this morning, might I direct your attention out the windows of this room? It doesn't take much to see what serious trouble means. Because we have an entire generation who has not been raised in the things of the Lord, who have not been taught to flex that spiritual muscle, to develop it to a point where it is a finely crafted tool. Some people have said that modern parents have become adept at the art of delegating, good at the art of delegating. We send our children to school to get their education. We send them to the library to get their books. We send them to the park to get their recreation. We send them to the movies for entertainment. And we send them to church for religion. I hate to tell you, it is not my job to teach your children spiritual training. I know you go, what? That's not my job. My job is to equip you to go out and make disciples, starting in your own home. That's our third pillar within our three foundations at RCC. Number three is to strengthen our families. That is my job. My job is to equip you with the tools necessary to go home and to teach your children, and then to be a resource back should you get into a place where you're like, wait a minute, I understand this, but I don't understand that. Hey, Mike, can you help me work through this in my own life so that I can then in turn pass it on to my children? Bible says iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. That's what I'm here for. I'm that bouncing off point that you can say, hey, you know, I love the Lord. I'm lacking a little bit here. Can you help? But you know what? I got this over here. Don't worry about it. We're good. Because each one of us, God has given a series of gifts to. Each one of us has the ability to grow our children. But ultimately, it is our job to teach them God's word consistently so that our children are aware of what it does actually teach. And we have to be careful where we get that wisdom from, because there's an awful lot of preachers out there, and Lord knows I pray I'm not one of them. I do my best to be diligent about what I teach you and what I encourage you with. But we have to be careful to listen to those things that line up, not with just what we're hearing off of TV or off the radio, but to go line it up with what Scripture says. I have always told you, please don't take what I say from this pulpit at face value. I am a flawed human just like everybody else. Now, I've studied, and I hope what I'm telling you is right. And I have done my due diligence. But go line up what I teach you, or what I teach from here. Go line up with your own reading. You go read the Bible. You go study. You go get your wisdom from God's Word directly. And hopefully as you find out that we're all kind of in that same place and that same thing together. And here's why. Because ultimately God also plans for the home to be a place of Christian character. This is where character is built. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4 says, "Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord," and in who He is. Character development demands training. And it is at home that it is provided for from infancy to maturity. I don't know if you realize this or not, but you have been training ever since your first child was born. You have been a trainer, good or bad. I know I've fallen into the bad sometimes. You know, we all have. But we have been training our children in godly character since the day that they were born. See, I understand now why my grandma, when I was a kid, she sent me out to the garden, out to the planter box, if you will. Our house had one of those big, off the house, the big things where the flower beds where they were all curly-cued and with the little divider wall and all that stuff. And the weeds would grow from the grass clippings and all the other junk. And she'd send me out there to pick weeds. And I hated, and still to this day, I hate picking weeds. I hate pulling weeds with a passion. Matter of fact, by and large, I hate yard work. Although I don't mind the riding mower. That's fun. But it wasn't that I was in trouble. I was a pretty good kid, by and large. But she sent me out there to develop character, to develop responsibility, a sense of responsibility. And I fussed and I fumed and I grumbled inside. But see, that kind of character can't be taught anywhere else. That kind of follow-through is done in the home. Because here's the reality. Character development demands discipline. Verse 4 also included the idea of correction in the passage, as well as instruction. Both are vitally important to our family. There can be no sense of direction for a child unless discipline is practiced. This is where respect for authority is learned, and this is where we learn to accept and understand one another and how to get along with one another. Again, a fantastic illustration. Look out the windows. Turn on the TV. There's an awful lot of people right now, especially in our political climate, that frankly needed a good whipping when they were a kid. And that's the reality. Going and tearing up other people's property because they didn't get what they wanted. Going out in the street and literally throwing a fit because their way wasn't had. The reality is if their parents would have followed through with some godly correction, it'd be a lot different. Facebook says it this way, and I don't quote Facebook very often in a theological discussion, but it says something to the effect of, "I suffer from a disease now known as respect, and it was caused because I got my behind whipped when I was a kid," or something like that. I think most of us have reposted that a few times. But see, God's word is clear about the need to practice discipline. I mean, nobody likes it. Nobody enjoys it. You know, how many times did we get told, "This hurts me more than it hurts you," right? And as parents, we kind of understand what they're talking about. I don't like disciplining my kids. I don't like spanking them. I take no joy out of it. I genuinely don't. Proverbs 12:24 says, "The one who will not use the rod..." What's the rod? Spanking. Discipline. "The one who will not use the rod hates his son, but the one who loves him disciplines him diligently." I know, kids, I know you don't like that Bible verse. But you know what? It's true. Proverbs 29:15, just flip over a few pages in the passage. Proverbs 29:15 says, "A rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a youth left to himself is a disgrace to his mother." And then just two verses down, Proverbs 29:17 says, "Discipline your son, and it will bring you peace of mind and delight." What a contrast. A child who's undisciplined is a hindrance, is a disgrace to his mother. But a disciplined son will bring you peace of mind and give you delight. Because ultimately, children need the security that discipline gives. They need to know where the lines are. There's so many people out there, and again, I'm not a huge fan of the whole self-help thing, but there are so many people out there that are like, oh, let the children roam and give them the freedom to do whatever they want, and you know, they'll come in and they'll ultimately find it. But children need some basic boundaries. I'm not talking about hard and fast, and if you know, hard-fisted and things like that, that's probably, honestly, it's probably more the parenting style I do. I don't know if you've ever read the book. There's a book on parenting styles. And there's I think we've all heard the helicopter mom. And there's I'm the drill sergeant dad. No question about it. That's just me. I don't like it, but that's just me. And I work every day to try to change it. But they need those boundaries. They need to know where left and right is. And they can live within those boundaries. They are free to move in and through those boundaries. And for us as parents, we need the fulfillment that kind of leadership provides. Why? Because we need to know that at the end of the day, we have raised children that when they stand before the Father, and again, we talked about this the other day, when they stand before the Father, they hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's our goal. That is what we are working toward. And so we help them understand that our parenting style of saying, look, here's the boundaries, here's left and right. You are free to move in and through here all that you want. That is very much the way that the Lord is with us. The Bible gives us the boundaries. It gives us hey, listen, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Scripture. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Scripture. All things work together for those who are in Christ, for good to those who are in Christ. Scripture. Again, understand, all those have a context, all those have a part and a place, but those are the general ideas. We are free to move in and around. People go, Christianity's too restrictive. No, it's actually one of the most freeing things that you can be part of. Because that's our relationship with the Father. And that is modeled in our relationship with our children. When we know that we have given them those boundaries and they are free to move and to explore and to find God in their own way, in their own relationship, and God is free to meet them in His timing and in His place, we can introduce them and God gets to take over. We get that fulfillment to know that we have led our children well. Again, in leading our home, one of the last aspects that I want to look at is the home really is a center for creative fellowship. God intends the home to be the center of all of the creative fellowship that He has within the body. When we talk about fellowship, and specifically Christian fellowship, and this is kind of a concept, if you will, it's best described as like family spirit. You know, that camaraderie that we have. We know who we are within the walls of our home. We know our place. We know where we fit. Because here's the thing. Within that Christian family, that Christian character, we know that there's love. We know that there's forgiveness. We know that there's understanding. Or at least I hope we do. So we're free to be loved, but to be creative. To be who God made me to be. Because within my family, they're going to love me anyway. I tell very often when I was youth pastoring, the very first thing I would ever tell kids when we would get together at a new church and we'd take over as the youth leaders at a new church, the first thing we'd do, we'd have the big group together meeting, and the first thing I would tell the kids is there is nothing you can do. There is nothing you can tell me. There's nothing you can say to me that will ever make me change how much I love you and how much I care about you and how much the Father loves you. I've had kids cuss at me. I've had kids spit on me. I've had kids walk out on me. But I still love them. I have a young man right now that even to think about it breaks my heart. Who sits in another state and who absolutely despises me for who I am. And I poured into his life for 2 years. And I mentored him and I loved on him. I haven't changed how I feel about him. He made a choice for his life that I don't agree with. But I looked him in the face and I said, but I love you anyway. And I accept you anyway. And we can agree to disagree on this and still be friends and still love the Lord together. And we can both still work out our relationship with God on a daily basis. And he said, no, you're leading a generation of kids in hatred and bigotry. And I can't be part of that. Okay. That was his choice, not mine. But I still love him. That's very much how the Lord loves us. And that's very much how this Christian character, we can live, we can move, we can go. Because there's forgiveness and there's love and there's acceptance and there's understanding within that Christian home. It's a place where patience and kindness and courtesy thrive. It's a place of warmth and oneness of spirit. Ultimately, it is the oasis of fellowship, community, in a world that starves for someone to give a crumb about who they are. It is that place that they can come back and go, this is where I belong. This is Christian character. This is Christian family. And this is who I am. Doesn't matter where I've gone or what I've done. There is nothing better illustrated in the Bible than the story of the prodigal son. His father had, and again, we all understand the parables are stories. These are not real people. These are not necessarily real situations. They are a story that Jesus used to illustrate a teaching, a command, a philosophy. A principle. And in that situation, the young man left and he took his inheritance and he went off and he did his own thing and he was as far away from family as he could. But the day that he came back, and we're not going to get into that story tonight, but when he came back, his father ran to him. And he accepted him back and he put his arms around him and he threw a party and he gathered together. That is the epitome of that Christian family. That freedom that we have within the body. Because here's ultimately the situation. If we respond to God's word as he calls us and he leads our families and we follow what he has called us to, in the light and the love of his word, we'll get to experience the joy of God's plan. The plan that he has for our family. If we follow through what he teaches, what he shows us in our homes, what he shows us for our family, we'll get to experience that joy. One story left, and then we'll close out. There was a pair of farm parents that were thrilled over their son graduating from college. Uneducated themselves, they had sacrificed much to keep the boy in school for 4 years. At commencement time, they were privileged to attend. Although the parents were poorly clothed and unlettered in education, the son welcomed them gladly and proudly presented them to the faculty and his classmates. On commencement day, the son gave the class address, and his listeners were moved by his message. As the boy returned to his seat, his father wiped a tear from his eyes And leaning into his wife, he whispered, "Ma, that's the best crop we ever raised." God has a plan and a purpose for your home. Will you let him help you find it? That's what this body of people are here for. This church, I pray that you understand, is not like many other churches. We all do. We all have our niches. We all have our fixes. We all have our places. And I'm not getting on them at all. But here, within these four walls, is the extension of the home. That's really what church is supposed to be, is an extension of what you're modeling in your home, we model here. And so in here, there is freedom to be creative and to be, and people go, why do you let people come and go as they please? Why do you let them get up and get coffee? And I can't tell you how many times I have been asked that. Why do you let the kids cry? Because I don't care. Because they're free to be who they are here. And when God's ready to deal with that, he'll deal with it because he's God and I'm not. And so if there are things that you need from us, tell us. If there are flashlights, spiritual flashlights, you need to help find God's plan, let us know. I'm not 100% sure we have batteries for them, but we have them. We have the flashlight. We will do the best we can to help point you in the way that you need to be. Let's close in prayer and then we'll dismiss. Father, we're truly grateful for all that you do in and through us every day, Lord. We know that you have a plan and a purpose for my life. And Father, in an extension of my life, you have a plan and a purpose for my family and my home. Father, I pray that as we move in and through your will and your plan, God, that you would constantly give direction and wisdom, that you would constantly reveal those things that you have called us to do. Father, I pray that as I raise my children, that you would help me raise them in an environment that is free and welcome and full of love. Father, I pray that you would help me as a father to discipline my children well. Father, that you would help me as a dad to train my children in the ways that they should go, in those spiritual muscles, those spiritual exercises. Father, we are so truly thankful for what you do in and through us every day. We ask these things in your name. Amen. You know, for a lot of us, there's an opportunity to say, you know, I want to lead my family or I want to do these things in my home, but I've not made a decision to even let the Lord be Lord of me, much less my house. And so for all of us, whether we've said the prayer or we've taken the dunk, there's many times that we get off center. And we just need a little help getting back. And so if that's you today and you need to make any kind of decision, we would invite you, whether you're watching online or you're here physically, we would invite you to just give us an opportunity. Give us a call. Let us know. We would love to pray with you. We would love to share some next steps with you on what it is to make the Lord center of your home.